Five questions about the return of favor in bhakti by Krishna's mercy.
Na cha sita tvaya hina na chahampi raghav. Muhurtampi jivavo jalan matsyavino dhrito. Quote, O Rama, you should know that just as fish cannot survive when taken out of water, neither Sita nor I can live without you for even a moment. Lakshman speaking to Lord Rama, Valmiki Ramayana, Ayodhya Kand, 53.31.
1. Will I get to be wealthy in the next life?
What is in it for me? Will I become fabulously wealthy in the next life? Is that what happened with the rich people we see today? They were devotees in the Bhakti Yoga discipline in a previous life. Now they command such attention and respect that they are like gods on earth. Their place of residence is so tall that it practically touches the clouds.
2. Will my bodily pain be relieved?
What is in it for me? My leg has been hurting for a while now. It is really annoying. I cannot seem to shake the pain. Is Bhakti Yoga going to sever that bodily attachment? By thinking of the Supreme Lord, will my leg suddenly be healed?
3. Will people treat me more nicely?
What is in it for me? If people see that I am following Bhakti Yoga, will they be nicer to me? Will they be less envious? Will they honor me for my visible sacrifice? Will they consider me to be the most religious person they know? Will it be safer to walk the streets at night?
4. Will I be able to juggle multiple responsibilities?
What is in it for me? Is Bhakti Yoga going to increase my capabilities? Will I be able to better focus on my tasks? Will I become so adept as to manage multiple responsibilities at the same time? Can I start two-timing in the job market, i.e., working more than one full-time job at a time?
5. Will I be able to rest and relax?
What is in it for me? Is Bhakti Yoga the same as retirement? Will I finally get relief from traveling to the office? Will I be able to run away from the throngs of people asking me for stuff? Will I be able to respond to every question with a showing of a basic mudra? If so, that would be pretty cool.
It only makes sense for a person to ask about what they will get back in exchange for a sacrifice. If someone is asking me to take a different road in life, to try a new approach, to abruptly change course, there should be sufficient justification. The reward on the other side must be of equal or lesser value to what I currently have. If it is of equal value, then the choice would be easy if there is less effort involved. If I can earn $100 working for 1 hour instead of 10 hours, I will likely choose the path of least resistance. The hourly wage will be higher. There is a better return on the investment of work. With respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the recommendation is for devotion. This is from the Acharyas of the Vaishnava tradition. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada asks that we chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Since this involves worship of the highest being of all, we know that there is plenty available in the reserve. It is like placing the hand in the cookie jar that is full of cookies. Reaching into a piggy bank that is full of coins. Borrowing money from a bank with an option for full forgiveness of the loan, no strings attached.
Chaturvidha bhajante ma. Janaha sukritino run. Arto jigyasur artharthi. Jani cha bhartar shab. Quote, O best among the Bharathas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me, the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Lord Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, 7.16.
Bhagavad Gita lists 4 general categories of worshippers who enter with such a mindset. They are basically looking for something. We can't blame them. They are making an important choice, and all choices have associated consequences. If I am choosing in favor of God, I should expect something in return. That is the manner of my dealings with others. I may not like to think of it as a business transaction, but it is more of an exchange of goods and services. I am offering service, devotional service, and so there should be something returned by the other side. What if the Supreme Lord Himself can only promise one thing? What if it is not any of the common rewards that people seek? What if we cannot place that reward on a scale for measurement? What if it is not something that can be identified easily with the eyes, heard by the ears, or necessarily tasted with the tongue? In the historical narrative included in the original Ramayana poem, there is a moment when Sri Rama offers praise to his younger brother, who is named Lakshman. This is during the time of building a residential dwelling in the forest known as Panchavati. Rama is so pleased with Lakshman's effort, but there is not much to be offered in return. A simple embrace will have to do. It is not like Lakshman was asking for a tip, a pat on the back, or anything else that would signal an end to the relationship. In fact, he was ready to continue serving Rama for 100 years and beyond.
Parvanasme kakutsthat dvai varshashtam sthite. Svayam tu ruchire deshe kriyatamiti mavad. Quote, O Rama, for as long as you shall stand before me, even if it be for 100 years, I will always remain your servant. Therefore you should be the one to choose a beautiful and appropriate place for the cottage. After you have selected a spot, please then command me to start building. Lakshman speaking to Lord Rama, Valmiki Ramayana, Aranyakand, 15.7.
What if Rama's embrace were the only gift available? Rama is an avatara of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What if the reward for dedication in Bhakti Yoga is the object of that service? Would that be enough? Does that promise provide sufficient justification for continuing in the path, in the manner of a Haituki and a Pratihata?
Quote, devotional service must not be executed for some material purpose. One should not even have a desire to merge into the absolute truth. One has to render such service out of love only. Ahetuki, apratihata. Devotional service must be without ulterior motives, then material conditions cannot check it. Gradually one can rise to the platform of spontaneous loving service. Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.109 purport.
In the case of Lakshman, Rama's association is the only thing desired. Everything else can be taken away. In the literal sense, Lakshman abandoned relations with an opulent kingdom for the reward of keeping Rama by his side. The same desire is there in Sita Devi, who is Rama's devoted wife. We can also consider that Rama is not poor. He has the most to give. He can exchange the entire world and more for loving devotion, but the dedicated servants choose only his association. That is more than enough, for lifetime after lifetime.
Jal thal nab gati amit ati ag jag jeev anek. Tulsi to se deen kehe ram naam gati ek. Quote, there are an infinite number of living beings, both moving and non-moving, who have many different abodes, with some residing in the earth, some in the sky, and some in the water. But O helpless Tulsi, for you Sri Rama's holy name is your only home. Dohavli, 37.
In closing, highest person to be, endless wealth to see, but one thing enough for me, that always close by is he. Like Lakshman the hut constructing. Nothing that service obstructing. Rama with association only returning. Sufficient that reward earning.